Come down the other side of the footbridge. Turn left at the bottom and follow the path under the two bridges. Stop just past the bridges on the low brick wall by the warehouse.
Did you notice where the crossroads?
Yeah.
There's another canal.
Really?
And you can...
Yeah,
it's got...
The bridge.
Yeah.
So here we're at the actual junction between two canals. On the left, looking down past the curve of the brick, we're onto the Birmingham and Warwick Canal.
Yeah, it goes to Camden.
Wow.
This goes to Camden?
Yep, we're now walking to Camden.
And then to the right, we've got the Digbeth Branch Canal, which was meant to connect up to the Birmingham Faisley Canal. Sorry about all these canals. Which would take it eventually to the River Trent. So you've got one canal that takes you to the Thames.
So the vital thing about the canals was their connectivity,
connecting up to other canals and then to rivers and so on. So here, if we headed right along the Digbeth Branch Canal, we would connect to the Birmingham and Faisley Canal, which took us to Faisley in Staffordshire.
You can reach the North Sea, you can reach the Irish Sea, the Bristol Channel,
and you followed the River Trent,
the North Sea, to get onto the Wash,
and the River Humber
took you 6 days to London.
Well, the canals in Birmingham just have a completely, totally different feel from canals in like St Petersburg or Amsterdam or Venice. They've got a real urban feel about them.
But that's what I was just thinking. Look down there, that has nothing of the urban about it at all.
But it's not the same as in Amsterdam.
No, I would say they feel much more urban because they're entirely surrounded by houses and activity and kind of bustle in a way. These feel much more rural. So is this the kind of dismounting point for the
bananas? There are huge numbers of bananas in this area. Again, particularly from when the railway arrived. And the railway arrived in 1836 here. The original building is still standing. And bananas were brought in from the Caribbean.
And the bananas had a nice trip because they'd come from the Windward Islands. So they'd be on a boat and then transported by canal up to the city.
And the British public took a liking to bananas really early and impractically, really, in terms of getting their hands on them. And so this area had lots of banana warehouses, and you can talk to old railway men who remember them, and there's one across the way from here where there was one person on spider watch all the time to spot these exotic poisonous spiders that had been shipped over along with the bananas, and they had to make sure that they didn't escape from the warehouse and go rampaging around the area.
By the banana warehouses, the stop locks. Now, I've seen loads of people look at that and think, what is it for? And they don't realise, of course, it's the boundary. Yeah, and there was a toll there. And if you wanted to go past, and that the reason it was built was to keep the water up there and keep the water down here, not to share each other's water.
So you paid your toll depending on what you were carrying and the weight of it. So you paid more for perishable goods, and you paid less for goods like coal. But obviously you'd have an awful lot more coal on the boat, and the stop lock usually involved weighing, or at least judging how low in the water the boat sits to be able to work out a fee for the boat.
There's quite a few bats around this area. The canals are especially good. Most bats feed over water at some point during the night, during their feeding cycle. This area isn't particularly diverse in bats. It has lots of common pipistrelles. We've recorded one noctule and one other unidentified bat, which may or may not have been a Dorbenton's. So there's probably two to three species of bats in the area. Of course, bats are very silent. We can't hear them because they echolocate at a frequency which is outside of our range of hearing. So although they are actually making noise, we just can't hear them.
When you're ready, click on to the next track.